This week on It's So Bad, we're adding one of the original roguelikes to the endless list in Toe Jam and Earl for the Sega Genesis on It's So Bad. Have Matt and Matt.
Michael.
Matt Z and Matt. Matt 2. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. I have to say, like, if you played the theme music for this in the background, I'd be more motivated to talk about it. It's just like, now it's in my head. Since you played it earlier, it's like stuck, you know?
That's good. Then motivate yourself.
All right. Okay.
Chris is here as well. He's here to be the spoiler.
I've played this game.
Oh, okay.
I've played this game.
So we're adding this week Toe Jam and Earl to our endless list, which is a list of the best games, the good games, the mediocre games, everything in between. This is our 70th entry on the endless list. It currently goes from number one, Super Mario 64, all the way down to number 69, Jurassic Park Trespasser. Last week we added Shovel Knight at number 8, and this week we are adding Toe Jam and Earl, a classic from the Genesis. Genesis original, Genesis exclusive to the endless list.
Are you more of a Toe Jam or an Earl?
I'm more of a Toe Jam, I think. What about you?
I think I'm a Toe Jam, too.
I think Toe Jam's a little speedier. These guys both move slow, so you want to be the guy with 3 feet as opposed to the guy with 2 feet.
So I'm going with Earl. He's got better dance moves.
He does have better...
He does.
I thought this was a life question. More than a game. I was like, you know, because I want to be a Toe Jam, but I just end
Everyone
up being an Earl.
Everyone thinks they're a Toe Jam, but they're really an Earl.
We're jamming. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, etc. Wherever you can find your podcasts.
Are we on YouTube?
We are not on YouTube. Probably because we play copyrighted music.
Oh.
And that would not jive well with their automatic filters that Google has created.
There's not like a 10-second... you know, grace period that you can use.
So there's the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which allows you to do, I think, 30 seconds of music, as long as you're critiquing the music. So technically we are in this.
Right. But it's just not, it's a losing battle.
Yeah, so you just get flagged. I don't think you get taken down. I think you get demonetized, and we're not even monetized. It doesn't matter.
So what do we have
to do? We're just going to start a Patreon.
So who wants to describe what Toe Jam and Earl is? To someone who would never played this game.
So you're cruising through the galaxy, and I think one of them hands off controls to the other one. I forget who was
Toe Jam hands off the controls to Earl.
Yes. And it swerves back and forth, and they crash into Earth.
Earl is kind of like the Patrick Starr of the duo, right?
Who's Patrick Starr?
Of SpongeBob fame.
Oh, see, this is a...
That's, yeah.
We are... I'm too old for SpongeBob.
No one's ever too old for SpongeBob.
I second Michael's opinion.
So Earl is Patrick, the starfish.
Right.
Okay.
Patrick Starr.
Okay. I didn't realize his name was Patrick Starr.
Yeah.
Yes, I would agree. I would agree. Although Toe Jam is way cooler than SpongeBob, in my opinion.
Yep. This is America. You're allowed to have an opinion.
Continue with your description.
So your ship explodes and kind of goes everywhere, and you have to find the pieces, and you encounter Earthlings along the way that try to kind of hinder your progress from rebuilding your ship. And
yeah, and one of the things that my son has enjoyed recently that this game reminds me of in terms of its surrealness is my son is actually watching Pee-wee's Playhouse. He like loves that show, and this game reminds me of the surreal nature of that. It's like it's supposed to be Earth, but it's not really Earth.
It's floating islands.
Yes, yes. So there are. I don't know how high it goes up, but you have to find all of the pieces of your spaceship.
I think there's 28.
Yes,
20.
It's upper 20. Yeah. Mid to upper 20.
But you don't have to get to the very top in order to find all the pieces in your spaceship. You can find them before you get to the very top level.
Right.
Yeah, you can select random mode, and it randomizes it a little bit as far as that goes.
Right.
It's better to play like the fixed mode, I think, just because, you know, random can be a pain in the ass.
But you don't like drastic change like that in your life?
I don't. No, I don't. No.
I was looking it up, though. The like, fixed... I mean, these numbers aren't totally accurate, but, like, the fixed mode world record is, like, 18 minutes, and the random is, like, 38. So it's not even... I mean, I guess that's double the time, essentially, but it was less than I thought it would be.
Yeah, so you control ToeJam or Earl, and you have to climb up these very, find the elevator in every level to get to the next level, but you also have to make sure that you get all of the spaceship pieces on the level, and you have to complete your spaceship in order to beat the game. Mm-hmm. And you have to climb each level and go through the elevator and defeat, well, don't have to defeat, but get around enemies. Mm-hmm. In order to progress. And yeah, you mentioned that there's a fixed mode and there's a random mode. The random mode is where I kind of like the roguelike comes into it. One of the things about this game, which came out in October of 1991, was made by Johnson Vorsanger Productions, Greg Johnson and Mark Vorsanger. Greg Johnson was a big fan of Rogue, with the original Rogue game, which was a 1980 dungeon crawler computer game, ASCII graphics. Where you went through randomly generated dungeons in order to find treasure and go down levels. And he took that, made Starflight, which was a 1986 game for Electronic Arts. It was one of the first sandbox games where he recruited, traded, and explored a galaxy. And then he went on to make Starflight 2, and he would go to make ToeJam and Earl with Mark Vorsanger. So
I want to go down this rabbit hole real quick.
Yep.
You keep saying roguelike.
Yes.
So my understanding...
Oh, boy.
There's two. There's roguelite and there's roguelike.
My understanding was a roguelite was that from playthrough to playthrough, there is no continuity. Whereas in a roguelike, there is continuity.
So I don't know the difference.
Is there a difference?
No.
Okay.
So I don't know. It
seems like a nebulous...
Right. It's like people difference. Online right now are trying to fight the battle that Metroidvania should not be called Metroidvanias, and I hate it. And they also don't like it being called Souls-like.
Souls-likes.
Yeah, so... yeah, you can fight that battle.
I was curious if there was a nebulous definition. If we had a unified opinion or if there was an opinion.
The only thing that I think of when I think of roguelike is that there are elements to it that the levels are randomly generated.
Right, I would agree with
that. Yeah, I would think that's all of them though, right?
Right. But I don't... You said roguelite is like when it stuff carries over?
Roguelite... Yeah, so like from play... Like you die, there's no progression. It's just a fresh start.
Okay.
The next time you play. Whereas like a... something like Dead Cells is a roguelike because at the end of it, you've progressed some of the like unlocks.
Okay.
And then on your subsequent playthrough, it's not like the first time you booted up the game.
Right.
So I thought that was the difference,
okay.
But maybe there is no difference.
Yeah, I've probably heard that difference, but I don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
Who likes to read things out loud off of Google? Because it's a very simplistic definition right here, Michael. You got the pod voice. Here we go.
Roguelike equals progress completely resets after a run. You start run number N plus one.
Right.
Exactly as you started run number N. Roguelite equals some form of progress is preserved from one run to the next.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So roguelite has some progress.
Yeah. So
this is a roguelike.
Yes.
Right. Because and there is no progress.
A roguelite would be like Rogue Legacy.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we solved it.
We cracked the mystery. We did it. So I don't have to change an intro. Woo! Mark it down on the board. But yeah, so... You're cruising through these levels on this surreal Earth. There is very many different environmental hazards and bad people, like hula girls that make you hula. There are shopping cart people that drive shopping carts, screaming babies.
Probably from Target.
Karen, yeah. There's devils, cupids that make you go backwards. Can reverse your controls.
Yeah.
Fucking boogeymen that fucking blow.
Boogie.
They used to scare the shit. You know what really scared the shit out of me when I was a little kid was the fucking mailbox monster. When you go up to the mailbox to like get something, and it turns into a monster, and he's like,
that's very random when that happens. Yeah.
I fucking hate that guy.
Or the dentist with the drill that just like pokes you in the ass,
and he like then, screams.
Yep. I mean, he's like so lanky, and like he just moves in an unsettling way.
Yeah,
the hula girls are the most pain in the ass, I think, just because like they slow you down. You have to dance, like,
and then like the devil guys. Stop.
It's like whenever you're like in the vicinity of them, it keeps on going.
The worst is when you have a hula person and a devil and the same thing, and they push you off the edge of the screen. You're like, motherfucker. But there's also the hamster ball. There's the chicken tomato death squad that exists. There's moles that steal presents. There's the nerd herd. There's bees.
I found the bees to be very annoying.
Yeah, these are super annoying. Yeah. There's a shark in the water, so you have to avoid water in later levels. The lawnmower man, and there's a tornado and a phantom ice cream truck.
The tornado sucks.
The variety, pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, God of War could have used some of this kind of variety. Like, they, 1991, they pulled it off.
I also say, like, how the various enemies interact with each other is cool. Like, the hula and the whatever. And then you, like, you'll be like, oh, I'm on this road, because you move quicker when you're on paved surface, and then all of a sudden you hear ice cream truck, and you're like, motherfucker!
The first time I hit the paved road, I had such flashbacks to Death Stranding, and I never thought I was going to get anything like that from Toe Jam and Earl, but it, like, when you hit the road and you start cruising at a better speed, oh, it felt so good.
I mean, also, there's power-ups, so there's presents you can get. You can get super high tops, which make you run faster, which feel really good.
Yeah.
There's tomatoes, there's a fudge sundae. I'm just reading off all the presents. So there's fudge sundae you can get. You can get food, which is just random food. Could be good, could be bad. There's root beer that makes you burp and wakes up enemies that are sleeping, because enemies can sleep. There's rose bushes that you poop out rose bushes, which is weird. There's a there's a slingshot. There's tomato rain, which drops tomatoes on everybody, including yourself.
So you
get hurt. Tomato rain. There's another buck. There's jackpot, which makes you have a lot of money, because there's money in this. Decoy, which is great for like bees. It's like one of the only games that I actually use decoys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not in Zombie Ape My Neighbors? Zombies Ape My Neighbors?
No. So that's another thing. What is this game like? Is this game the only game I can think of that this game is like is Zombie Ape My Neighbors.
And I was more thinking of like the surrealism. Like I was thinking like, man, like in the 90s we had this, we had Earthworm Jim, we had Zombies Ape My Neighbors. Yeah. Like great time for good, weird, surreal games. But yeah, Zombies Ape My Neighbor and Toe Jam and Earl feel
very similar.
Mm-hmm.
They even have like similar entryways to how you exit stages.
Yeah, the door instead of the elevator, but it
disappears, right?
The only thing that's the main thing, I think that obviously Zombies Ate My Neighbors is much more the level from level to level, it's different.
Yeah, definitely.
These are both two games I had when I was growing up too, so that's funny. I never made that connection, but yeah, I think that's the main similarity. The main difference is that they're like Zombies Ate My Neighbors, the levels can get way different.
So the main gameplay in this is you're plopped down in the level. You're essentially uncovering the map to search for. I like it tells you if there's a part there.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is very kind.
Yeah.
Something I would have expected a game from 1991
not to do. Right.
Yeah.
And so really, if you're not looking for a part on a level, you're really just looking for the exit.
Or you're looking for presents if you want more presents. Mm-hmm.
But it seems like
the thing that we didn't mention about presents too is that you don't know what they are until you open them.
Right.
Which is another factor. It changes every time you play. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. But is it me or do you always have 8 presents?
At the start?
Like if you use one, can you run out of presents?
Yes. It seems
like
absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe I was mistaken, but I always thought I was like getting a new fresh question mark.
No.
Okay.
Well, then, you can open a randomizer at some point. Like one of the presents you open could contain a randomizer, and then it resets what all the presents are.
Yeah.
Oh,
so maybe that was what you were experiencing.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a ton. So I just mentioned through decoy, but then there's boombox, doorway, telephone, extra life, promotion, Icarus wings, inner tube, rocket skate, spring shoes, togetherness, which brings you and Earl together if playing 2-player, earthling, which has a random earthling that comes out, rain cloud, which has a rain cloud that follows you, school book, which makes you go to sleep, a total bummer, which kills you, random present, which gives you a random present, and then the randomizer. Which randomizes
Total
all.
Bummer was so unfair. It's just unfair.
Yeah. The first time I played it, replaying it for the pod, because this is going to segue into my question of like when you guys first played it. Like, I played it when I was a kid, but I didn't particularly care for it. But when I was replaying it for this podcast, like the first random present I opened was the
total bummer.
Was the total bummer, and I was like,
You know, you can survive that. If you like hold down B or something, you can survive the total bummer because really? You like stop shaking.
Hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. But I didn't know that until I was doing research on this podcast. I've had this game for 30 years. So, yeah. And, you know, some of these, sometimes the piece of the ship, you'll get unlucky if you're playing random and it'll be on an island somewhere. So you need to have like Icarus wings in order to get there or spring shoes.
Yeah, the shoes you can run and jump.
Yeah. Or you can use super high tops and run jump. But that can happen. Which is unfortunate. The movement speed in this game is very slow, which we talked about.
It's very slow, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah.
Like, for a game made in 1991 that's all about, like, moving in, like, a pseudo-3D way to avoid enemies that are chasing you that are often faster than you.
Right.
Or, you know, comparable speeds. I'm surprised at how good the movement is.
Yeah.
Like, comparing it to Home Alone, which was, like... The terrible. Biggest detriment was its poor movement.
I think that game came out after this game, too.
That's what I'm saying. Like, for them to pull off, like, kiting enemies in a weird... Yeah, in that, like, 2D, 3D...
Right.
I think it was done well.
I also think that another thing that was surprising that they added for when this came out is the map.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't, like, a lot of mapping things, and the fact that this game has a map that you can clear and, like, open up, it has, like, a fog of war, essentially. Right.
And so it's pretty cool. What is it, the telephone unlocks certain
parts of
the
map? Yeah, it's, like, random chunks.
But you have to get to the telephone's on a timer, right? It can run out of rings.
I don't remember. I just assumed when it stopped ringing, I just walked too far away from it and stopped.
Oh.
I don't know. I mean, it could have.
Yeah, that's an interesting, thing about, like, environmental gameplay is, like, you can hear it. And you can move closer to it, and then you still hear it. You move farther away, you don't hear it. It can't, if it's not on screen, sometimes you will still hear it. It's interesting. This game's good. I mean, there's a lot of different facets to it. There's even NPCs. So there's the opera singer, the Viking lady, who clears the screen.
Old man.
Yeah, the wise man who goes, who can identify presents.
Right.
There's the wizard.
He's the Deckard Cain of Toe Jam and Earl. Did any of you? I guess none of you have played Diablo 2. Never mind.
There's also the wizard that heals you. There's Santa Claus. Do you guys ever see Santa Claus?
So did you just sneak up on him? Is that the idea?
No, he's sneaking up behind you and leaving presents behind you.
Oh. So you're guys not ever supposed to get to him?
No.
Because every time I got close to him, he ran away.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I thought I was just not sneaking well enough to actually get him.
He's trying to help you, but if you see him, he's like, I'm out of here, screw you. So
I'm not real anymore. Your childhood's over.
So there's also, you can level up and increase your health to different levels, like Poindexter and forget the other ones.
Oh, yeah.
And you do that by uncovering the map. The more you uncover the map, the more you will get experience points. Did you guys know, and I knew this back in the day, do you know that there's a level 0?
I did not,
no.
Yeah, so the start level is 1. You start on 1. And if you get like rocket shoes or Icarus wings and you go back to level 1, you can fly to an island in the southeast corner and there's a hole in the ocean and you can go down. And in there's hula girls and a hot tub for you to get your health back. And the hula girls don't hurt you. And there's a bunch of presents as well.
Nice.
Huh. So you basically fall into like a Duke Nukem level.
Yeah. And when you fall off that level, you don't have to... Or I think actually... I don't remember if it's an elevator or if you fall off. But if you move on from that level, then you go back to your topmost level that you ever had. So... Yeah, that's a thing.
And is there an easy way to get down to level 1 to go to 0 if you're on level... 10 or
no,
whatever.
No, I
so
typically
it's not like you could go back.
Yeah, if you get like Icarus wings or rocket shoots skates pretty early, then you can do it. But otherwise, you can't because you just drown in the water because it's too far of a swim.
Interesting.
What else? So who beat this? Did you beat this?
So actually, I recently want to say too, I got this on a limited run Back in the Groove, which is very, very, very similar,
right.
Except for things like serve a different function. So. Instead of kind of like automatically almost ranking up, you get like when you go to Mr. Carrot, Mr. Wiseman, whatever, he actually is the one who's responsible for like, you know, your progression in the game. And the movement's a lot faster too.
Yeah.
And like you don't have to use many presents because you can move around a lot quicker.
That's the new version of the game.
Yeah, but it's still very, very similar. It's the same purpose. Like you have to collect pieces of your spaceship. It's the same level layouts and everything else. But
The presents are a little different, but it's like very, very much the same game. Yeah. I was when I first saw the screens for it, I was like, nah, I don't really like the art style. But then I played it and I was like, this game's all right, but it's just straight up more Toe Jam and Earl. The funny part is that they, and we were talking about just the ending, so you didn't beat it.
No, I did not.
So when you, the other thing is, so there's level zero. The other thing is that when you beat it, you go to Funkatron and you walk around Funkatron.
Oh.
Their home planet. And you like can say hi to people and they're like, hey, Toe Jam. And he's like, yeah, jamming. Yeah. So it's like a purpley world that you walk around on. So it's pretty cool.
So which of you guys play this when you were kids when it first came out?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You did?
Yeah.
And then you did as well, right?
I did, but I was more of a fan of the second one, the Panic on Funkatron. It was a completely different game, but it was, I don't know, just something about it, like collecting the Earthlings and sending them off your Funkatron planet and whatnot was pretty good.
The thing about me when I was playing this game back in the day is that it was a big co-op game. So like playing it with another person and trying to get us as high as we could get, it was like really fun.
Yeah, the split screen.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was not a thing back then really in 1991, because I think even Zombies Ate My Neighbors came out like three or 4 years older after
you
that.
You couldn't split screen that, right? Yeah, so right. Yeah.
There wasn't like a big thing to do split-screen gameplay in 1991.
Other Matt, did you play it back in the day?
I knew nothing about Toe Jam and Earl besides its existence until like 2 weeks ago. yeah.
I used to think Toe Jam and Earl was like some cartoon or something that I just like never knew was on TV when like the game came out. I was like, oh, it must be like some
cartoon that I don't know. This was actually intended to be one of Sega's mascots.
Middle tier. Yeah. And that was like what I read. It was like the goal was like Sonic's like your
Mario.
Yeah, he's your.
This is your Zelda.
I had to stop myself because I said he's your Stone Cold. But then I was like, wrong podcast. But then I was.
So they wanted to make it like a mascot because they're building their mascots. This game actually got good headwinds from the release of Sonic the Hedgehog that came out earlier that same year. So this game came out in like the November, October time period of 1991. Sonic the Hedgehog came out earlier, and this was really when Sega Genesis lit a fire, was when Sonic came out. So that December was huge for them, and especially Toe Jam and Earl, because there was much more Genesis was being sold with Sonic, and then obviously Toe Jam was like the two game to play one of those games.
And I used to have the Sega Menacer, and I remember when I got that. It was a Toe Jam and Earl game. You were shooting tomatoes.
Ready Aim Tomato. Yes. Was made by the same company that made Toe Jam and Earl.
Mm-hmm.
And they would go on to make, as you mentioned, Panic and Funkatron, which is the second one. They made. They helped with the third one. They did not make the third one for the Xbox, which I've never played.
The same like mechanics or
no? It was like a platformer.
Oh.
Yeah. So the thing about that is, too, the second one they wanted to make, the development team wanted to make a similar game, just like add stuff to it and like change up the environments. But in Sega of America was like, we're never going to be able to sell anything. So they made them change it to a platformer, which probably sunk them because that game was not received very well. It's kind of like the Zelda versus the Zelda 2 of Sega Genesis.
This could be a like Mandela effect talking, but like if I remember right, like when we were young, there was a bunch of like Toe Jam and Earl merchandise out there, wasn't there?
That might be Mandela effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember a lot of Toe Jam and Earl merchandise.
Well, I'm just gonna be over here now.
That's a mistake though, because the style, like some of those background patterns on a lunchbox
would be pretty cool. Yeah, I know you're chains, cool. You're a little bit younger than us. Like those background patterns, like were already like on all the clothes back in 1991.
Okay.
Yeah. It was horrendous.
MC Hammer.
But I feel like Toe Jam and Earl like very like toyetic. Like I'm kind of surprised it wasn't like Toe Jam and Earl like plushies and things like that.
Yeah. Things that said jamming a lot.
Because I remember like not really particularly caring for the game when I was younger. It just wasn't the type of game that I was into back then. But yeah, I remember thinking like Toe Jam at least was like really cool looking.
How old were you in 1991?
Seven.
So you had games you liked and games you didn't like at that point.
Oh, yeah. I don't even think I owned this game. I just had a friend who had it, and we used to play the shit out of it. Thank you. Yeah, so this is the game.
I think this game's good.
We didn't mention, too, the music is like, and it's very, all the aesthetic is surreal, but it's like hip-hop surreal.
Yeah, hip-hop and funk, yeah.
Yeah, like 90s, 80s hip-hop, not like the pre-NWA gangster rap stuff. Like the more like Grandmaster Funk guy would...
Yeah.
Grandmaster
Flash?
Yes, yeah. Grandmaster Flash.
Sega Genesis did a lot for slap bass.
Yes, yes, they sure did. That sound chip was where it was. We mentioned, I was showing you guys before we started this that one of the songs is like has a rip of one of the music from Herbie Hancock. Herbie Hancock inspired is what you might call it.
Right. So I actually thought they used Herbie Hancock to write.
Some
of the soundtrack.
Somebody else.
But it's easy to be convinced if someone said that with enough authority that was the case.
Well, because didn't Michael Jackson write the soundtrack for some game around the same time?
So, it's funny. Sonic the Hedgehog 3 has a level in it that has music that is supposedly done by Michael Jackson.
Right. Yeah.
And in other releases of it, that music is changed. Because they can't get sign-off, and nobody knows if it's officially Michael Jackson. But why would they change the music if it's otherwise? And it was just like...
I'm sure Michael Jackson's estate is pretty aggressive.
Right.
So if,
maybe Paul McCartney bought that to get back at him for buying the Beatles. He's like, I got your music now, Michael. You're Sonic 3.
Sonic 3. What's
I showed you.
So this game, we mentioned back in the groove. This Greg Johnson of Johnson Vorsanger, who made the original Toe Jam and Earl, made Human Nature Studios, which made Toe Jam and Earl back in the groove. So still making those games, same games after 30 years. But yeah, so this is the time we're going to talk about where it goes on our endless list, which is currently at 69 games long. This is our 70th entry. We have a whole bunch of Genesis games. Our top Genesis game right now is number 23, Streets of Rage. Our list goes down to number 69.
Nice.
Jurassic Park Trespasser. Where does this game go? Where do we want to start? This is a difficult one. This is kind of like all over the place. I don't know where we could put this.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, obviously, I have a lot of nostalgia to it, and I think it's a kind of one of the classic Genesis games.
I have zero nostalgia, and I thought it was good still.
I think it holds up.
Yeah, it was like I was kind of saying offline. Replaying this leading up to the podcast, like I found it to be a very like relaxing game. Like I found it to be like, I compared it to like the way I feel about like the Lolo games for like Nintendo. I found it to be very like relaxing type games.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's not earth shattering by any means.
Right.
I don't know. I think I'm looking somewhere in the. Excuse me. I think I'm looking somewhere in the 40s, maybe upper 40s.
I'd go 30s.
I would say 30s too.
Yeah.
Hold on. Why don't we pick a starting point?
Spider-Man 2, Crazy Taxi. So that's 41-42 for reference.
Right.
is it better than Pilot Wings, which is number 39? I hate Pilot Wings.
Yes, I don't like Pilot Wings either. I think it's a better game than Pilot Wings. My thing is like,
I think I accept that. I think it's a better game.
So talking about these other games that are in there, Spider-Man 2 is like a open world game, early open world game that's good at some parts, but extremely fucking frustrating at other parts. So I think this game goes above it even though Spider-Man might be a more like bigger experience. Spider-Man 2, I think it goes above Extreme Warfare Revenge, because even though that's like a very
niche, like I love Extreme niche, Warfare Revenge. Like it's I deep. Have more fun playing that, but I mean like for the grander concept of the podcast, like it is Toe Jam and Earl, like should go above it.
I think this game holds up better than Pilot Wings, and I think it's just it's more interesting visually in my eyes than Pilot Wings.
I think the style brings it to a level above Pilot Wings.
I think where it runs into some trouble is like Diablo and Luigi's Mansion. Mm-hmm. I definitely don't think it goes above Luigi's Mansion.
I was thinking it stops. So Luigi's Mansion is what, 37?
Right.
And Diablo's 38.
In my mind, it stopped at Gaiden.
Yeah.
Ninja Gaiden, which was 36. Why do you think it's not better than Luigi's Mansion?
Because I think Luigi's Mansion is a very well-crafted experience and a well-crafted environmental... the environmental designs are better, I feel like. I think there's just more interesting boss mechanics on each of the ghosts that you have to run through.
It's true.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think it's overall, it's a more compelling experience than... ToeJam & Earl.
So I didn't play Luigi's Mansion, but listening to that podcast, you guys sounded like you hated Luigi's Mansion.
I never want to play Luigi's Mansion again.
And this podcast has been very positive, so I think I would put above Luigi's Mansion just because of the tone of the respective episodes.
Yeah, like, I feel better thinking about ToeJam & Earl than I feel thinking about Luigi's Mansion, personally.
It was a launch GameCube game, and it had problems that a launch GameCube game would have. But I really do like how each room was like a diorama, and how there was everything that's hidden around each room. And it's like a super well-crafted experience. I would say where it gets into trouble is like the movement and the controls around how you vacuum things up in that space. It gets a little bit frustrating. But otherwise, I think it's a like overall more complete package than a ToeJam & Earl.
Yeah, but I mean, it came out, what, 10 years later?
Yeah, but I mean, just for its time period, I would say it's a more complete
package. I see ToeJam & Earl as, like, almost like an arcade game, like a Pac-Man-type game where I just fire it up, play it, until I'm either done with it or beat it or die, and then I'm good until the next time I want to play it. Mm-hmm. But I think that way it doesn't overextend its welcome. And I think the style, like, doesn't outstay its welcome. I think it's aged well.
Right.
I think the music is very good. All the music is super good in it.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, it's like it seems like a really good, like, comfort food game.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that.
I think what I came across, like, looking it up for reading about it for this podcast, is like, it seems like I came across, like, there's a very... not large, but a very passionate cult following around this game. Like, Luigi's Mansion, I'm going to guess, probably does not have a cult.
I think that's a good point, though. But that's I think it definitely goes above Luigi's Mansion.
But I think a roguelike, I think, adds that replayability.
Sure. But I also, you know, you look at, they're still making Luigi's Mansion's games. They just made one last year. So there's obviously a game that I would say there's probably a much larger fan base for Luigi's Mansion.
You know, and Nickelback is still making albums. You know,
Good point.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
To throw that one out.
Oh, Nintendo is still making games around one of its big time mascots. Color me shocked.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself. Wow. Look at that. Look at that big waveform. Jesus Christ.
It seems like we have a majority.
Yeah. So do you want to put it as our new number 37? Or do we want to go up from there?
I wouldn't go above Ninja Gaiden.
No, I think that's a good spot for it.
Ninja Gaiden's 36. I see Street Fighter Alpha above it.
Yep.
River City Rampage. Like, I don't see it topping anything as you keep going up, personally.
Yeah. I think it gets hard. I think, you know, looking at this from a standpoint of the list, I think it gets harder the more you go up from there, from Ninja Gaiden.
Definitely.
It steps up.
I don't know if we have any, like, ROM hackers out there, but you just said River City Rampage instead of River City Ransom. And I immediately thought of, like, how sweet of a crossover that would be and River City Ransom.
Would it be Rampage characters in a River City Ransom game?
I think that's what I'm leaning towards, but I gotta think about it a little bit.
Oh, the opposite. They're just punching, like, it has, like, that same, like, weird, like, side punch.
Or Kunio just turns into a giant creature.
I gotta think about that a little bit. Yeah. I think there's a project out there for somebody.
Mm. I think we have a new number 37, though.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's ToeJam & Earl beating Luigi's Mansion, surprisingly to me.
Yeah. Well, I guess you're the only one.
Well, I mean, I have more nostalgia for ToeJam & Earl, but I guess the majority just stands. The merits on the approach here. Our new number 37, Toe Jam and Earl. You can play it, again, I think, on everything these days. Mm-hmm. It's on the Sega Genesis Mini now that they have. It's also on Sega Genesis Classics, which is on Xbox One, PS4, PC. The Switch, PC.
Steam.
It's also on the Sega Vintage Collection, which is on Xbox 360, PS3. So you can find it everywhere. Mm. But yeah, check it out. It's a good game if you haven't taken a look at it. Toe Jam and Earl, new number 37. Again, you can find the complete playlist or complete ranking within our podcast description. You can follow us at It's So Bad Pod on Twitter. It's So Bad Pod at Gmail to send us your hate mail. Anything your
or ROM hacks.
Love letters. If you have ROM hacks.
Yeah, the River City Rampage ROM hacks.
I would love to add a ROM hack to this list at some point.
I think tried that's doing legit. This is completely random. But I tried this one Nintendo emulator where you can do like a lot of like it's easy to do like palette and sprite modifications.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to change the first Godzilla game. I was practicing with that to change it to Shin Godzilla's sprite. And I didn't do too well.
No, you're not. Are you not an artist?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, there you go. All right, guys. Well, we will be back next week. Thank you, Matt, and Chris for joining me this week. And we will be back next week with another episode.
Catch you later.
See you later.